from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Glad to be here with you. It is Sports Daily. We are rocking and rolling live in a variety of places, of course, first and foremost on KFH. Thanks to those listening in, streaming us, maybe through the Odyssey app. Thanks for those watching us now on 12 News Connected. KWCH.com. Thanks to those people for joining in the show. Glad to be here with you. Also for those watching us on social media, Facebook, YouTube, X, all kinds of different ways to take in the show these days. We appreciate you no matter where you are and how you're listening or watching. I'm Jacob Albrecht alongside Tommy Kester. Jad Chambers is producing for us. Jad Chambers, man in that IHOP hotline at 869-1240, which is open for your calls. It's also going to have a couple of guests today. Coming up in the second hour, Wichita State men's basketball coach Paul Mills expected to join the program. Looking forward to another conversation with coach. Summer work's been going. What's he seeing from this crew? What can we expect? We'll begin to dig into that a little bit. And then we'll check in with our buddy Brandon Zinner, 12 News reporter, anchor, sports for 12 News out there at Big 12 Media Days in Las Vegas. We'll wake him up early, but we won't make him get up until the second hour. I know he got there yesterday. Could have been a late night. He promises me he's up anyway getting his coffee, but we'll see how the night treated him out there in Vegas and get sort of a taste. Brett Yormark is speaking today a little bit later, so we'll kind of preview things a bit today with Brandon, and then we'll try and get him back in tomorrow as well. All kinds of good stuff, your comments, your calls, it's all there for you. Tommy, how are you this morning?
Man, I'm good. It's good to be here today. I'm doing our show from the Odyssey Studios today, the KFH Studios, and you know, we talk about it on the show every day, how grateful we are to Prairie Fire Coffee for providing our coffee here in the studio every single day. So I go and pour myself a cup of coffee. I've got my creamer that's like the one that I love, that I use every day. I've got it in my office, in a fridge. I don't want anybody touching it. And it's been a while since I've been here at the Odyssey Studio. I pour my creamer in my coffee, and it's all chunky. And so there goes there was my cup of coffee for the morning.
Jad, knowing this, I need you to fulfill my role. I'm going to need you to mess with Tommy and his creamer, please.
Really?
It's a very specific kind of creamer.
Yes.
And I'm a person of habit and routine, and so I don't go away from that. I don't go buy other flavors. My wife likes to try other kinds. I'm like, get me that one flavor. It's what I like. It's what I'll drink every day. So unfortunately, the one that I have here at the Odyssey Studios may have actually gone bad a few days ago.
Okay. Step one, we need to find out what flavor and what brand that is. Yep. So I can start messing with it. You're absolutely
start
right.
Start messing. Yep. You got to switch it up, like dump it out and pour some other stuff in there. there's too many possibilities there.
And before That's anybody tells me that, hey, you know, the best way to solve this would be to just drink your coffee black.
Thank you.
Let me just jump in and get ahead of it by just saying I can't do that. And like maybe if I'm a psychopath, maybe I could drink my coffee black.
Excuse me?
You need a little bit of flavor in there. Like, that's just kind of, I understand you're a black coffee drinker. You're also a psychopath. So, you know.
I'm not ashamed to say this, maybe slightly. It's my wife that made me a black coffee drinker. I didn't drink coffee much, though. I don't think I ever put creamer in. I used to put sugar in it, but I was never a big coffee drinker. I don't even think, and I'm not even being sarcastic, like I probably didn't have any sort of coffee drink until I was in, you know, like college. And then I would get like the, you know, the cinnamon roll, mocha, whatever they would have down at the, you know, at the students. And I'm like, this is incredible. What have I been missing? But then quickly you learn that's like a meal.
Yeah. You're drinking.
So then I was like, okay, well, how do I do it? So then I started to drink coffee when I started to work TV because I started on the morning show and you literally can't do it without coffee. Like I'd wake, you know, you wake up at 2 a.m. or whatever. Jad knows what I'm talking about on this. Like you can't do it without coffee. And so it was like, okay, trying to do that. And then it became like I would just pour a little sugar in my coffee, which is fine. And then eventually my wife was like, well, why do you even need that? And I'm like, I don't know. And so then I really acquired the taste for it. It's like anything. It's like you had your first beer. Did you love your first beer? Probably not.
I don't know. I think I remember liking my very first beer. That's a little bit different, though. Oh, it's
Maybe you start on a Zima, and then you put on your big boy pants, and you start to drink beer.
It's funny because I don't like black coffee, but I'll drink unsweet tea all day long. I won't drink sweet tea.
Correct.
But I've got to have a little bit of something in my coffee. And I'm not talking like I don't go a bunch of creamer and a tiny bit of coffee. It's just a splash of creamer. So it usually takes me a while to get through the entire bottle of it. For whatever reason, I think that bottle maybe had been in that fridge for a little bit too long.
Well, it'll be messed with. Now you'll have to wonder every day if Jad messed with your creamer.
Right.
And the best one is the anticipation. I have done something to it, that's just going to get you. That's fantastic.
But even like alcohol drinks now, like I don't mix much of anything with anything. Like I drink bourbon and water. You know, there was like a genetic passing of the torch on that, but it's what I prefer. Like I don't want it in another. I don't want it in a Coke. I don't want it in anything else. I just want it either straight or with water. It just doesn't matter what it is. Like I don't flavor much of anything anymore, including coffee, which I'm having black coffee right now. But you know, the coffee at Odyssey is fantastic as well.
Yeah, it's nothing at all about, you know, our buddies over at Prairie Fire. They do a phenomenal job. That coffee is delicious.
Well, plus, HGO does a really good horchata latte. Yeah. Mm. That horchata latte is amazing.
Now you're getting into that's one of the most popular things we make, and it's you're in the majority on that. And those are different. I almost just treat those now like different. There are times where I want like an espresso drink. And then that gets a little bit different, even though I like those plain too. That might be a little psychopathic when they're like, what flavor? And I'm like, nothing, just give it to me. And I'm like, okay, weirdo. So we have, speaking of HTO, Jeb, we'll give away some HTO later in the program. We're also going to give away some NBC World Series tickets on the show today. Rick asks more food talk on a sports show. Yes, Rick, that is correct, even though coffee is not food.
Yeah, I mean, it's drink
creamer.
Talk. Drink talk
although
on
creamer,
a sports show.
Creamer might make it more like a food. They definitely
especially the creamer that you poured out that had chunks in it this morning.
At that point, it becomes more solid than liquid, then it becomes more of a food.
When you need a fork and knife to drink your coffee, that becomes, man, I wish that would have gone in and you wouldn't have been paying attention. That would have been awesome.
I'm glad I was watching.
All right. Speaking of watching, thanks for watching us on our video stream. We got a new look on the video stream today. Shout out to Zeb for putting this together. Shout out for our friends at 12 News for getting us a new fancy show logo. Now we are rocking. We're in the big leagues now, Tommy. It's not, doesn't look like I drew it and you know, with some font like that. We're looking good. We got all the good stuff on that video stream. And the cool thing about the video stream, if you're just joining us, if you're one of our 12 News Connected viewers that is just now partaking in the video stream of the show, we can take video comments right here on the air, like William, who says, "Calm down, Rick. What else is going on other than baseball and racing?"
Hey, Wimbledon. Thank you, William. Wimbledon's going on right now.
Yeah, Coco Gauff's out, right? She lost yesterday, which that's no fun. I have a daughter named Coco, so we root for Coco Gauff. There is, by the way, in the wheelchair tennis portion of Wimbledon, a Wichitan, Casey Ratzlaff, who's been in this a lot. We found out yesterday I was at 12 News at the other job, and they were like, "Hey, we need you to cut some." And I didn't realize this. I think I knew he was over there, or usually he is. I sort of assumed it. But, you know, we have somebody close to him that works for us now that's over there with him. So 12 News is going to have, like, reports from Wimbledon, which is really cool. So, you know, keep it apprised for that on 12 News. That'll be fun to watch. But we get into it, and you know, William says, "What else is going on besides baseball and racing?" The beauty of this summer is baseball is way relevant. And we find out yesterday Bobby Witt Jr. is in a home run derby, which I was really hoping he would be. Now, I don't know what I think of his chances in that just yet. I don't know that it's the best thing. Well, you know, it's strange about the home run derby, and people are getting on to Shohei Ohtani and all these people, and Pete Alonso, you know, well, Pete Alonso is a little different, but Shohei, for instance, for not getting in there. I'm like, guys, he's been in there a bunch. Like, I watch the home run derby, and I'm like, that's exhausting. Like, it looks exhausting. And so if he wants to take a year off, he's rehabbing a significant injury to try to come back and pitch. You really want him out there hacking it up? No, like, it makes perfect sense. So back off and let's celebrate some of the young stars. You're going to get Gunnar Henderson in there. You're going to get Bobby Witt Jr. in there. Those are two of the bright young stars. And no, I don't know that either one of those guys, especially not Bobby Witt Jr., strikes you as home run derby guy. But you know what? Salvador Perez didn't a few years ago either, and he dang near won that thing. Kind of got a bad luck. I don't know what I think about Bobby Witt Jr.'s chances in that. But Tommy, you got to remember too, like, this is hometown. Like, he's going to do the home run derby essentially in his hometown there in Arlington. That's where his dad played. I believe that's where he grew up. I think anyway, that area, that general area. So that's going to be awesome. That's going to be a show. He'll have the big, I would imagine, unless a Ranger ends up in there somehow, and I haven't seen the full list, but he'll be the fan favorite. Because people there are very fond of him. That will be fun to see. I'm curious to see if he can alter anything to, I don't know, get into it. I mean, he does hit bombs, but often he hits, you know, line drives that just get out. I'm curious to see how that plays for him. But I'm really glad he's in it. I'm really glad he'll take the national stage. Because we've talked about this before. What young star would you definitively take over Bobby Witt Jr. right now? Like, young star. Not like Juan Soto or those guys that have
just
been...
in the home run derby? In general.
No, in general.
Yeah, I mean, in general. I think the popular answer would be Gunnar Henderson. I think they're probably right there, you know, as far as like...
I think I'd take Bobby Witt Jr. over Gunnar Henderson.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited about this home run derby from top to bottom, honestly. The format I still am trying to wrap my head around, I know that it's kind of like a combination of a couple of different past ways they've done the derby. But I'm excited not only for Bobby Witt Jr., but obviously Pete Alonso is back in it. He's fun to watch in home run derbies. You know, the former Shocker, Alec Bohm, in the home run derby as well. And so, you know, he could definitely put on a show. He's been doing that all season long for the Phillies. So there's a lot
now
of...
he's a name to watch.
There's a lot of local flair, you know, in this home run derby. And you know, for the last few years, honestly, I've had the home run derby on in the background because there's nothing else going on that night. But I haven't really been locked into it probably since the year that Salvi made that run I'm going to be locked into it this year for Bobby Witt Jr., for Alex Bohm, for, you know, Pete Alonso, Marcelo Ozuna. I'm a Braves fan. He's in it. He's been hitting a lot of home runs this year. So I'm going to be locked in for a lot of different reasons. I think that there is a lot more intrigue this year in the Derby than there has been in years past.
There is, and the format changed too. If you missed that, they're getting a better format. And so that will also add to it. I think we won't have kind of what happened to Salvi, where he was the second best home run hitter, but it just was this weird bad luck to who you were matched up with. So all of that's going to be good. It will make it better. It will make it very good. I'm excited about it. But Bobby Witt Jr. definitely makes it more exciting for us. That's not even where we intended to start today. The Royals back in action, to the point of baseball is exciting this year for us this summer. For the first time in almost a decade. Think about that. Like, think about how long that's been. I thought that was really interesting. We had J.J. Piccolo on, the Royals general manager, yesterday. And the first thing he said when we asked about, you know, this offseason and this success was how happy he was for the fans. I've thought the same thing, right? Like, we've talked about that. Like, it has been so frustrating to see how basically the rebuild take one did not take. Right? It just didn't work. So then you had the start of the second rebuild, and it wasn't taking either. It was almost like the Royals had been through two cycles of the rebuild, neither of which took. And it was just like this massive cloud of, like, here we go again. Like, for so long, you know, you went from 85, you went, what was it, 30 years, basically, of just having one of the worst teams in baseball. And it felt like, there's no way this is going to happen to this fan base again. And so to hear the general manager, the architect of the offseason, say that the fans were the first, they was the first thing that he, like, in all the things, that was the first thing he said. And I've thought the same thing. Like, I'm so happy for Royals fans to have this back, to have this relevant baseball. And, you know, we're selfishly happy here. We're the home of the Royals on the radio. We love having them. You know, I go into 12 News and I love being able to talk about them in the summertime in a sports cast. We have not been able to do that for a very long time. Like, we would have had a Bobby Witt Jr. in the Home Run Derby store. That would have been probably the first Royals content we would have been able to get in there for a while. Now it's every day. Like, you better be talking Royals every single day. And I love that. That's the best thing about baseball. It's why I love baseball. It gives it to you every single day. And so the Royals are back at it tonight, right in the middle of a playoff chase. Jeff Passan put something out for ESPN yesterday. He expects them to be aggressive. I think he outright said they will be. I got the same impression from J.J. Piccolo yesterday. And there was nothing he told us, Tommy, which, by the way, you can go back and watch that interview on the video stream. You can go back and listen to that interview on the Odyssey app. There was nothing that he told us that did not tell me he was going to do something. Now, he had to have the obligatory, but we have to be careful of the future, of course, right? But in about three different ways, I thought he told us they were ready to be aggressive for the fans, for the guys in the clubhouse that committed to this team, and for the free agents that decided to come there. They do feel some obligation to be aggressive, which is, to me, the 100% right answer. You've put the fans through a decade of this. You've got Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez, the lifer. Salvador Perez was a big part of the first round. You can't have Bobby Witt Jr. be Mike Trout, right, and just consistently play on bat. He'll leave, I think. But if he can be a part of something special a few times, maybe he won't. And that's a problem for way down the road, but that stuff matters. It does matter to star play. They want to win.
Look at Salvador Perez. I mean, look how young he was when the Royals were relevant and the Royals won a championship and went to back-to-back World Series. You know, now you look at it 10 years later, and, you know, he's still with the team, but that time in between, you know, it was, I know that he battled a couple of injuries during that time, so he wasn't always with the team, you know, throughout that entire stretch, but when he was, by and large, he was the star on the team, and they weren't winning games, and so you can look at Salvador Perez, and thank goodness he got his championship, you know, early in his career, but you look at him kind of as a cautionary tale on what you don't want to have happen with Bobby Witt Jr. long-term in his career. You know, Bobby Witt Jr. is a phenom, where Salvador Perez really wasn't coming up, and he kind of solidified himself as a star and grew into that. Bobby Witt Jr. was a star from day number one, but you can look at that from a cautionary tale of, you know, look, we cannot lock up this player, this, you know, potentially transformative player on our roster long term,
yeah,
and then not surround him with key contributors also to help give him the success that he deserves and that he needs. And so I do think that that's extremely important. A team like the Royals in a market the size of Kansas City, in the way Major League Baseball is structured with no salary cap, you have to strike while the iron is hot. You have to catch lightning in a bottle. You know, you can't say, yeah, well, there's always next year. You know, they can put something together for next year, 2 years or 5 years. You got to do it now because there's no guarantee that you'll ever be back in that position.
There isn't, and Salvi is a good example. And Salvi is not necessarily the right. Salvador Perez is going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to be, at worst, depending on Bobby Witt Jr., the second or third greatest Royal of all time. And so it has been, you know, the baseball equivalent of the kind of good fortune that the Chiefs have seen with, let's say, Travis Kelce, where that player is a Hall of Fame caliber player and did not have to stay financially, have to do what they're doing. So, yeah, you want to build on that too. Bobby Witt Jr. is your Patrick Mahomes. Bobby Witt Jr. is your superstar, take over the league kind of player. Salvador Perez has been a workhorse that plays through injury, that wants to catch every day, do everything he can for the team, be the face of the organization. Oh, and by the way, is a Hall of Fame player. Still in very much his, at least, offensive prime. So, anywho, they are back in action tonight. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk about this series coming up tonight with the Cardinals. It's a, you know, it's one of those kind of strange first pitches, so, you know, kind of be aware of that. We'll get into tonight's game, that quick series. It's just a little short series. A lot of days off here, but we'll dig in. A lot of things happening around the Royals. We didn't talk a ton yesterday about where things sit in the standings. We were busy with the launch and everything, and we'll get into them a little bit more here today. We also have big interviews coming up in the second hour. We'll talk to Paul Mills, Wichita State men's basketball coach. We'll talk to Brandon Zinner, live out from Las Vegas at Big 12 Media Days. It's all coming for you on this Tuesday edition of Sports Daily. We'll be right back. All right, Sports Daily listeners, here's your chance to win tickets to the NBC World Series. You can participate once a day here. Just text the keyword STRIKE, that's STRIKE, to 20357. Each text entry will give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to one of the NBC World Series games. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody, on that. We'll give away some HTO in the second hour. We're talking Royals baseball here in hour number one of Sports Daily. Thanks for being with us. Over the air, on all the streams, wherever it is you're taking us in, including now on 12 News Connected. We're happy to be here with you. So the Royals get back in action here, Tommy, tonight against the Cardinals. Now, with the Cardinals, this it's a 6:45 first pitch, so it's kind of a weird start time. You'll get pregame coverage right here on KFH starting at 6:30, but it's a brief set. The Cardinals are a much better team now than they were at the beginning of the season. They have been consistently good for a little while. They sit there. They're very much in the middle of a playoff race. They've won 7 out of their last 10, and you're going to get a series here with them, and you'll have Waka tonight. You'll have Marsh tomorrow, and then you set up with your three big guns in the Boston series. You do like that, but you still got to get through this one, and their road games. And the Royals continue to struggle on the road. They just lost 2 out of 3 in Colorado, which they cannot do if they want to stay in this thing. They have to beat bad teams. Here we go. This is a good opportunity. I mean, I think, you know, we like to do this. What is an expectation? What can we settle for? I think a split you settle for. But there's no reason they can't take these two games, I think, by any means. Who do they go up against? They'll go up against Sonny Gray, who's been good, and Piante. I'm not sure how he says his name, but he's pretty good too. So it's going to be tough sledding for that offense on the road where they haven't been very good up against two pretty good pitchers in that red hot Cardinals team.
Yeah, that's going to be the biggest key, as you mentioned, is how bad the Royals have been lately on the road. That's been their Achilles heel. They've got one of the best records in Major League Baseball at home, but away from Kauffman Stadium, it's just not really working out for them. And, you know, if there's a way that they can kind of bottle up what they were able to do in the finale on Sunday against the Rockies offensively and parlay that into this two-game set against St. Louis, I mean, of course, that's going to be positive for Kansas City, but that's easier said than done, again, knowing the struggles they've had on the road and knowing how much better the Cardinals have been playing as of late. You know, I think the Cardinals, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they only have one All-Star selection. And because, of course, they're taking taking the entire season into consideration, and the Cardinals were abysmal early on. But as of late, they've had several players that have really started to turn things around. And so, you know, there's still quite a bit of talent on that St. Louis team. And so the Royals have got to be, you know, cognizant of that going into this game, that they've got to try to limit how great the Cardinals have been playing as of late. They've found themselves back in the playoff hunt, the Cardinals have. They've got themselves back over 500. And this is a team that looks like they're for real, especially in the second half of the year.
I would have to, how about, here's a stat for you. Of all the teams in Major League Baseball right now that are above 500, the Cardinals are the only team with a negative run differential. So
I believe that.
I'd have to defer to Bob Lutz on this, because I don't know if that's a product of just how bad they were early. I think it is, but I'm not sure. Or, and this happens, if it's a product of when they win games, they win really close games. And when they lose games, maybe they're not as close. That happens from time to time. I would imagine it's some combination of both. We'll have to ask Bob. But isn't that strange? Of all the teams across Major League Baseball with records above 500, the Cardinals are the only team of that group that have a negative run differential, and it's not a small negative run. They're 33 in the wrong side of that. 33 runs, you know, basically under zero in that run differential. That's pretty wild. I don't know what that means or what to take of it. It does sort of speak to how strange a season it's been for the Cardinals, but they're hot right now, for sure. They have been, because they were real bad to start the year. You know, when we first started like projecting out parts of the schedule and looking at this, it was really before that, I don't remember when it was now, that really brutal stretch they had where they had the Yankees and the Dodgers in the same week. At that time, we were looking ahead. I'm like, oh, good. You know, there's a series against the Cardinals. And now, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, no, that's not good. Now, the Cardinals and Boston look like a really tough stretch of games, which makes the Colorado run pretty disappointing. And, you know, it's been, you know, they lost the Tampa series. They lost the Colorado series. We're getting to that point where the Royals are sort of in crunch time, and I don't know either, and I think this is entirely possible. Like, they could still be so streaky that we haven't seen them come out of the cold stretch, and they could still light fire, but there are so many teams now in the race. If you look, I mean, Minnesota won again yesterday, so that puts you going into the day. Kansas City is 3.5 games back of the Twins. They're 8.5 games back of Cleveland,
yeah, Cleveland,
which I
lost
think you don't
last
even
night.
You don't even worry about Cleveland at this point. They're not something you worry about. They're 1.5 behind Boston, 2 games behind the Twins in the wild card. Sorry, so they're not just not just a loss column, and then 4.5 behind the Yankees in the wild card race. All three of those wild card spots are attainable for the Royals. So I think you just sort of ignore Cleveland for now. You got to worry still about Houston and Tampa underneath you. And you just win a bunch of games, as many as you can. They've won 5 out of their last 10. 500 baseball the rest of the way isn't going to be good enough. How many games have they played? They've played 92 games. So they have 70 games left. Quick math, you know, 49 plus 35, if they went 500 the rest of the way, Tommy, is only 84 wins on the season. I believe that's correct. 70 games left, they played 92. If they go 35 and 35 down the stretch, that's not even going to be close.
Yeah, that won't be enough to get to the final wild card spot.
Not even, it may not be within 7 games of getting the final. So they have to play much better than they have in this magical wild ride of a season that we've been having. And this is why the metrics and the analytics don't like them to make the playoffs, by the way. Because all of those things, no, they got to be better than they've been up to this point. And that, you know, I don't think that's possible without some moves at the trade deadline. Now, I fully expect them to make those moves at the trade deadline. I think something, you know, analytics and predictive things don't bake in as much as maybe we do, is that they could, they very well may have the best 1-5 starting rotation in Major League Baseball. And the fact that those things don't ever predict the streakiness of a team. And this team does appear to be insanely streaky. And at some point, they're going to hit the hot end of that streak. They just will. And they're going to win a ton of games. Will it be enough? I think you've got to raise the floor of the bat to get where they need to be. And I just don't think they can do that without a couple of moves at the trade deadline. But, you know, something else that J.J. Piccolo brought up yesterday that I thought was right. And we've talked about this too a little bit. One of the best things that can happen for the Royals between now and the end of the season is the continued improvement for MJ Melendez and Hunter Renfro. That makes you need like one outfielder, right? Like if those guys can continue to be threats down in the lineup, now you probably only need one bat. Their collective OPS, I think it was Passan that had this yesterday in his thing, is so far the worst in baseball. Like, it's not close. Like, they're basically, they could do anything and improve that. It's so far below the major league average. Yeah. But I think they only need one, because I do think MJ Melendez and Hunter Renfro are probably both better than anything they'll find on the open market. So you really just need one, and you could get an infielder. I mean, you could, but...
Oh, I think you got to go outfield. And I'm pretty sure, at least as of... maybe this was a couple of weeks ago, that the only team in Major League Baseball that had a lower OPS collectively for outfielders were the White Sox. And it's funny. Right, yeah. It's funny that Tommy Pham has been a name floated around because, of course, he's an outfielder for the White Sox. So, but I do understand that, you know, they've got to absolutely find a way to make that better. And to Hunter Renfro's credit, he has started to hit the ball better than he did during, you know, before his
way
abysmal
he's
start to the season, right? You know, so that's good. And he's starting to hit a little bit more like the player that the Royals thought that they were getting when they signed him. But there still is absolutely a lack of overall consistent production from the outfielders. And I do think that that's got to be, you know, really the priority. We talked about it yesterday, whether it's, you know, an outfield, corner outfielder, whoever they can bring in that's got that consistent bat. They don't need him to hit a bunch of home runs. They don't need him to be, a force in the lineup. They need a consistent guy who can get on base at the top of the lineup, who can play outfield. That's got to be really the specific player that they look for before the trade deadline.
I thought about that so much yesterday when we talked about maybe moving Fermin up there, which I'm real fond of trying that. And we'll see what they do. This will be an interesting lineup to watch today. But if we think about, so Mikel Garcia is almost certainly going to be a part of whatever they do, as are MJ Melendez and Hunter Renfro. If you think about those guys as your, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, 7, 8, 9 hitters, that makes some sense, right? Like, you've got pop at that point up and down the lineup, guys that can threaten you up and down the lineup at least. But what you still lack is that leadoff hitter. It fills two needs. You need an outfielder, you need a leadoff hitter. You can probably go find, even if it's, I don't even care who it is, even if it's some, like Tommy Pham, and I'd have to look at his on-base percentage, I don't have it in front of me, but like, it just needs to be an outfielder that can play the outfield, because you don't have room for a DH. It's got to be somebody that can play the outfield, probably in center field, which makes it a little more challenging. I'm not sure if either Melendez or Renfro. I mean, I don't think Melendez could. Renfro, I'd have to defer to a real Royals honk on that. But you probably need a center fielder. Literally all they have to do offensively is get on base. Don't care if they hit, just like look at that specific thing. Can you get on base and can you play center field? That's it. It's all we care about here. And I think honestly, if you can do that, then you don't have to worry as much about everything. And then you just go can maybe try to find some of that bullpen that you know you'll need down the stretch. But that's it. I mean, that's what they got to have. You get who is an outfielder that can play center and can get on base for Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, and Salvador Perez.
That's really the key, and that's going to be J.J. Piccolo's main, I think, main priority heading into the trade deadline. You can always add quality bullpen pieces. They probably should. I was an advocate last week if they were going to go out and make a trade with one of the sellers, that maybe they should try to find a way to get everything they need in one trade. And there are a handful of teams out there that they're probably going to be offering up somebody that we just discussed and described, and then also probably some bullpen pieces. I mean, you could maybe get a deal done in one big trade. I don't know how likely that is, but you could probably find a way to do that because there are, at least right now, we know of enough teams that are selling that probably have the assets to make that happen. One note I want to go back to with tonight's game with the Cardinals. You mentioned Sonny Gray. It's actually Andre Pallante getting the start for the Cardinals tonight.
Sorry, Gray's tomorrow.
That.
Yeah,
I'm seeing that in a bunch of different places. Pallante.
No, it is. Gray's tomorrow. Yeah, sorry.
Pallante came out of the bullpen, I think, to start the season, but he's been their fifth starter for a while. He's pitched pretty well over the last couple of outings. He had a start on the 4th of July against the Pirates, 7 innings, only gave up 1 earned run, 4 hits, 5 strikeouts, had a good outing against the Reds on June 28th, 5 1/3, no runs, 4 hits, 5 strikeouts. 4 of his last 5 starts have been pretty outstanding. So, you know, he's a guy that I don't know a ton about, but I know the Cardinals are trying to build him and grow him into a legitimate starter in that rotation, a permanent starter in the rotation. That's who Kansas City will have to contend with tonight.
So right now, Tommy, let's Tommy Pham, if you were to insert him right now on the Royals roster, where do you think his on-base percentage this year would slot in?
Probably somewhere around the middle, 4 or 5, I'm guessing.
4.
Yeah, 4.
He would come in and have the fourth.
Yeah.
He would have the fourth best on-base percentage. All right, we're going to postpone this break here for just a second. Let's get Mike in to talk Royals. We won't make you wait through the break with us here, Mike. What's on your mind? What's up?
Well, first of all, I want to challenge the notion a little bit that that they need to strike while the iron's hot this year. I guess I'm not buying that because I think that we are seeing players, younger players, get better. And I don't think the iron is hot this year. I think that they're a better ball team. Certainly they have been. I'm looking forward to not only the other players getting better, but they've got Kyle Wright, who was a really good starter before he went down last year, and they got him this past winter. I think, he's going to be possibly going to be a really good contributor to the pitching staff. So we got possibly another pitcher coming in that's got a really good arm. I definitely agree with the outfield situation because the minors, they really don't have, much going there as far as the minors. But you know what? There are a couple of guys that could solidify this team in a year or two. So I really don't think the iron is hot. And here's another thing. Yes, they don't have any really untouchable guys as far as being able to trade off. The farm system needs to produce. Free agents is not the answer at this point, or even guys, rentals coming in at the deadline. I think next year would be a better year. Yeah, Salvi's getting older, but you know what? I like Salvi at DH. Freddie has actually got a better, much higher percentage of nailing runners out, and he frames the ball better when he's catching it. I think he's a better catcher right now. So that's all I got. I just don't think this is the year to go all in. That's it.
Appreciate it. Mike, Kyle Wright, a 28-year-old who has a career 4.45 ERA. It doesn't excite me a whole lot.
He's had flashes.
I hope he's a great...
He's had flashes.
Yeah, I hope he's fine.
He's had injuries,
but I'm not
too. That's been the big knock on
he's
him.
He hasn't played this year. He's 28 years old. He's got a career 4.45 ERA. I'm not hanging the future on Kyle Wright. My point with the future is, yeah, it's a tough race this year, but your clock is ticking with Lugo, Waka, Singer. Clock's ticking there. Okay, you lose those three, and the Royals aren't contending for anything. I don't want to hear about the starting pitching down on the farm. The starting pitching down on the farm is the reason this rebuild has taken three times as long as it should have. Those guys haven't developed. So how many more good years do you have out of Salvador Perez? You don't have much left out of those three starting pitchers that I mentioned. When is the iron going to be hotter than it is right now? you take those guys off the roster and you have last year's team that won 50 games. You have to take advantage of the opportunity because it's in front of you. You know, in 2016 or 17, they said, oh, well, you know, we gotta rebuild this thing. 8 years later, it ain't rebuilt.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you mentioned that Jeff Passan article yesterday from ESPN about the pressure being on J.J. Piccolo to get the trade deadline right. I wholeheartedly agree with that, and the reason is because of what Mike just said. There's not a clear-cut answer for the Royals this year going into going into the trade deadline. You know, there are teams that are clear-cut sellers. There are teams that are clear-cut buyers. The Royals are kind of in that middle ground.
They're not sellers.
They're not sellers. But as far as like what direction they should go, there are several different schools of thought that I'm not sure that any one of them is glaringly wrong that they shouldn't do. You know what I mean? So like, I don't know if the trade deadline comes and goes, if I'm going to be upset one way or the other, really, because I'm not sure that there's a really strong argument to be made either way.
Well, I think they should be buyers. I think the argument there is strong. What will make that difficult is there anybody to buy? Is the price just too high on everybody? If that's the case, well, certainly they shouldn't do that. You should never pay the wrong price. But that doesn't mean they shouldn't be aggressive and try to do something. And listen, we're all on the Freddie Fermin at the top of the lineup, put him in at leadoff train. We got to take a quick break. We're up against one. We'll come back. More Sports Daily. Paul Mills coming hour number two. Brandon Zinner from Vegas. Big 12 Media Days coming hour number two. We'll wrap up hour number one right after this.
Six 9 1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, everybody. Quick segment here. Set up our second hour. Paul Mills is going to join us right at the top of the hour. So we'll talk a little Shocker hoops, get caught up on the summer. Looking forward to that conversation. And then later in the hour, we'll connect with Brandon Zinner out from Las Vegas as he gets ready to cover Big 12 Media Days for 12 News. Looking forward to that. I think, well, you want to talk about a home run. Having that event out there this year with all the expansion, I mean, come on now. Like that is perfect timing. I have seen more media people like, hey, we're out in Vegas than ever before. And there's again, Brett Yormark's playing chess. Yeah. He knows how this game works.
You're going to get those media members, you know, pretty happy and excited to, you know, be on location to go and do that.
Who doesn't want to go to Vegas?
Well, yeah, and I don't remember which player it was from which team, but I know that there's a player that's representing one of the teams in the Big 12 that is not 21 yet.
Oh.
And so he can't do the interviews at the casino, because I think they're having it at the Circa, I think is where it's happening, I believe.
Well, they're not having it in like a conference room?
No, like but it's at one of the casinos, and so, but it's a 21-plus area. He can't get into it, so he's got to go do his portion. I think from the Golden Nugget, I think is where they put him, because he can get into
there. Downtown.
Yeah, so I don't remember exactly who that is, but I did see that yesterday. So that's one downside about it, is that not everybody's going to be 21 and able to enjoy that.
A lot of interns might be in trouble out there for some of the media outlets. But we'll check in with Brandon, see how it's going. It's like 130 degrees out there yesterday. Oh, whew. Does it even matter once you get to a certain number? I don't know. All right, we're going to come back with Paul Mills right when we return. It's Sports Daily on KFH on 12 News Connected. Here we go. Hour number two coming right up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.